Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, the 19th of September. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check out American Free Press, rather its internet website at AmericanFreePress.net. AFP, for short, is a weekly newspaper, not just an internet website, not just an online publication. It is an actual newspaper, and if you're not a subscriber, I hope you will become one soon. I just learned today that a lot of people have not gotten their issue of the paper that contained a special wraparound announcing the release of my new book, Target Traffic, and the story of the frame-up, the setup and takedown of former Congressman Jim Trafficant of Ohio. But you can get more information about that book on the American Free Press website. It's amazing, the U.S. Mail Service. You know, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist here, but considering the fact that the book does take issue with a U.S. government agency, and specifically the U.S. Justice Department, I might just spin a little conspiracy theory myself and suggest that perhaps that might be one of the causes of the delay of the delivery of the paper. Probably not, folks, to be perfectly honest, but you never can tell. I also must tell you, I got a very nice email from Tish Trafficant, the wife of former Congressman Trafficant, and she just received a carton of the book in the mail today. We sent her out from American Free Press 96 copies, not quite 100, 96 copies in the carton, and she said she's already distributing them to friends and family members and other people who care, as people should care, about Jim Trafficant's plight. Also sent another carton to a very nice lady who shall remain nameless, who has been helping Jim out over the past few years, chatting with him on a regular basis, and just doing some things to help him out, just because she's a nice lady. Never even met him until he got sent to jail. You see, there are good people out there, folks, you know, who lend a hand to people who need it. Speaking of which, I also had a very nice chat today with one of our regular callers, talking to him off the air. I asked him to call me today at the American Free Press office, and that's Carl from Canada. Of course, Carl's an American citizen. We've heard bits and pieces of his story on this program. And they do have a new website up there for Carl. It's called FreeCarl.com, just like it sounds, FreeCarl, Carl with a C, .com. I want to tell you, the conversation with Carl was interesting and, in a sad sense, entertaining. I mean, Carl and I both found ourselves laughing at times about the really outrageous and horrendous things that have been said about him and done to him by his tormentors. And, you know, it's amazing, folks. Carl has spent so much time incarcerated or otherwise being bounced around in the court system and the probation system that it's almost comical. But I use that term almost very, very generally and very, very loosely. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me, thinking about it here in retrospect after talking with Carl today, that he has maintained his spirit and his sense of humor. The whole story from beginning to end is just a story that, you know, you just could not believe. The average person who's never been exposed to this kind of thing, the average person would just not be able to believe what's happened to Carl and the whole course of events as he's been tormented by, quote-unquote, our government, really, for about 8 years now. Check out the website at FreeCarl.com, ladies and gentlemen. And believe me, it's only the tip of the iceberg. And you know, they say the ice underneath the water is really dirty, not bright and shiny. Well, I'm telling you, the ice in this iceberg is really dirty and rotten. All right, we're going to the break. Talk about some other things when we come back. Stay tuned, folks.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis, A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, here at republicbroadcasting.org. You know, folks, we had a very interesting call last evening from a gentleman. As I recall, he was from Arkansas. He had never called before. And he made a couple interesting points. I didn't necessarily agree or entirely disagree with everything he had to say. But I was thinking about his call this afternoon as I was scouring the headlines and all the material on the Internet about what is happening with the U.S. stock market. Now, our caller last night made the suggestion that it's a mistake for me. He was referring to me specifically, but I think he's talking about people in general, that it's a mistake to use the term Jew or Jews in discussing political issues that relate to the state of Israel, to the power of what I call the Jewish lobby in the United States. Our caller's point was that, in his opinion, those who call themselves Jews and those who are generally known to the public as Jews and followers of the Jewish faith, or ostensibly so, that they're not really Jews, that they are Satanists, that they are secular, that they just really shouldn't be called Jews or even acknowledged as such, and that by so doing, I'm playing right into their hands. Well, that having been said, and without going into the debate over that, because we could spend hours and hours talking about that, I would hasten to point this out. Well, first of all, as I did point out last night, that taking such a position, while true in some respects, many Jews are not followers of the Jewish faith, they are secular, even those who are hardline supporters of the State of Israel, such as Michael Steinhardt, the son of an organized crime figure who's now a major philanthropist for what we will call quote-unquote Jewish causes, and he's a backer of the newspaper The New York Sun, which is a leading neoconservative so-called publication. He considers himself secular, if not even an atheist, and yet he considers himself at the same time and does indeed put his money where his mouth is and is a major funder of Jewish and Zionist causes. Although, as you know, I contend, based upon my extensive study of the issue, that Zionism is indeed an element of Judaism. Noting, of course, the fact that there are Jews who are anti-Zionist and say that there should not be a state of Israel. Rather, their argument appears to be that ultimately when the Messiah comes, that's when the entire world will come into the hands of the Jewish people. And there is no need for a secular state in Palestine. All of that having been clarified, all of that having been said, for the record, I come back to this issue of what is happening in the stock market. And again, I temper my comments with the immediate notation that I am no economist. I am no financier. I owned $100 worth of stock in my entire life, and it ended up being worth minus $10 or something like that. I have many friends in the financial business, all of whom, incidentally, are goyim, Gentiles. That is, persons who are not considered to be Jewish by those who have written the Talmud, the book that is considered the underlying document of the Jewish religion. But needless to say, I know a lot of people in the business, but I am totally alien to it all. I just barely know how to add and subtract. But I do know how to look at history. I have an extensive personal library. I am very familiar with a lot of other material that is not in my personal library, and I refer specifically to the material relating to the history of, for example, Lehman Brothers, this major financial concern, and, of course, AIG, the American International Group. Now, why I bring this up is because these firms, like the stock market system itself, are definitively written about by writers who call themselves Jewish, who write for publications that circulate in what is known as the Jewish community, whether rightly or wrongly. And often many of their books are published by companies that are owned by people who consider themselves Jewish, whether they are followers of the religion or not. Notice I'm tempering everything that I'm saying here, folks, to be in accord with this theme that even though these people are considered Jews, they are not really Jews, and I do that for the benefit of that caller. In any case, the fact is, as historians have written, both quote-unquote Jewish and non-Jewish alike, the whole theme of the stock market system, the very stock market system itself, is basically a quote-unquote Jewish creation. There's a book, Economic History of the Jews, and that is the title, Economic History of the Jews, by a quote-unquote Jewish writer that contends that the stock market system as we know it today evolved largely as the work of quote-unquote Jewish businessmen, Jewish traders, I say traders, not traders, and others who established that system. And in fact, if you look in the literature, including such eminent books as Stephen Birmingham's Our Crowd, The Great Jewish Families of New York, and that's just one of many. That book, in fact, features the Lehman family of Lehman Brothers. And if you look at other material, you'll find the name of Maurice Greenberg, major player in the Council on Foreign Relations, incidentally. He has been one of the prime figures behind AIG. There have been other books written in more recent years, One of them is, I believe, Changing of the Guard or something like that. And the subtitle in the book, I have it here somewhere, but I don't have my glasses on, folks, and I'm not going to interrupt the broadcast to try to find it. But it talks about the headline, the subtitle of the book talks about the changing of the Jewish guard on Wall Street. Many, many other books on the topic talking about the quote-unquote Jewish role on Wall Street, the quote-unquote Jewish role in the stock market, the quote-unquote Jewish role in the whole history of finance. And so now all of these major houses of cards are come tumbling down, and the U.S. taxpayers and stockholders and people with pension funds that are invested in the stock market, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all these people are in a panic, and rightly so, and yet the government is coming to the rescue of at least one of these firms. And it's kind of interesting because the big boys that make all these big salaries, they are just going to skate. And it's the little guy that's going to get stuck with the bills, even including people who are quote-unquote Jewish. But what I find interesting is that in all these establishment books put out by major publishing houses, which are controlled or owned by people who are quote-unquote Jewish, self-described Jews, although, of course, as we've talked about here, perhaps they are not, in fact, quote-unquote, the Jews as we know it from the Bible. The fact is, they very eagerly and freely talk about it and crow, brag, boast about their accomplishments in the fields of finance, about their role in the stock market, about what they've contributed to society through the structuring of economic systems that have brought us to where we are today. Well, where are we today? Read the headlines. So I guess what I'm saying, folks, is that you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's all free and clear for these people who call themselves quote-unquote Jews, even though they may not be Jews historically, religiously, ethnically. It's all well and good for them to brag about their accomplishments when things are going good, but when things are going bad, my goodness, no, 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 no. Don't you dare use the term Jews. Don't even bring the subject up. Kind of like when the Enron company went out of business. I wrote about this in my book, The New Jerusalem. The image of Enron was a bunch of freewheeling cowboys, Texas cowboys. There were some Texas cowboys there in the front lines. But Enron, if you look into it, was the product originally of some wheeling and dealing by a family named Belfer, who were from Poland and who considered themselves to be Jews, were recognized by the public as Jews, and were known for their immense philanthropy for what are generally known as quote-unquote Jewish interests. The Belfers were not indicted in any of that. The Belfers, although they did lose some money, they skated. And everybody thought it was a bunch of Texas cowboys that were behind the big ripoff. No, in fact, Mr. Belfer, Robert Belfer, I do believe his name, he was one of the three-man central executive committee who were actually running the company. Of course, that part of it, the Belfer role in Enron, was swept under the rug, hardly mentioned. It was mentioned at first when Enron first hit the news. It was mentioned in the New York Times. It was mentioned in the Washington Post in the business section, buried in the business section, and I'm sure mentioned elsewhere, such as the Wall Street Journal. But ultimately, when push came to shove, so to speak, the Belfer connection was not mentioned. So it goes, ladies and gentlemen. You can't have your cake and eat it too. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. If you're going to proudly and publicly be proclaiming yourself a Jew when times are good, then when times are bad, don't try to scurry for cover and pretend that you don't exist and that you shouldn't mention the fact that there is a quote-unquote Jewish connection to these things. Just some food for thought, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80-90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartavite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartavite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Must talk to you now about something that I mentioned the other night, and I didn't get around to talking about it further. And absolutely, I guess on the one hand, hilarious, but on the other hand, revealing and hypocrisy-based fundraising letter from the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which calls itself America's Pro-Israel Lobby. Now, this letter is addressed to Dear Friend of Israel. And the letter says it's signed, doesn't really matter who it's signed by, Jonathan Misner, the Director of National Affairs. He says he is asking members of Jewish communities across America to join AIPAC today. Now, of course, when he uses the term Jewish, he means people who are generally recognized as Jewish, people who consider themselves and call themselves Jewish. He's not saying members of the Israeli communities across America or members of the people who consider themselves the true Israel to join AIPAC. He's talking about members of Jewish communities across America. So when this letter is received by people, they are people who identify themselves as being Jewish. Again, that's just for the record. Now let me talk about the letter itself. He says that AIPAC's efforts have been essential to Israel's survival. As America's leading pro-Israel lobby, we have worked with Congress and the executive branch to achieve much for Israel, including securing vital foreign aid for Israel, $2.42 billion in 2008 alone, working to stop Iran's progress toward nuclear weapon capability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, in fact, both Democrats and Republicans in Congress rank AIPAC as one of the most effective foreign policy advocacy groups in the country. He cites the New York Times as describing AIPAC as the most important organization affecting America's relationship with Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what I find interesting is that they say, we have been successful because Americans like you who are concerned about Israel and our security have offered their support for our efforts. Now, what is interesting about this to me is that many, many people who call themselves Jewish, and many people who do not call themselves Jewish, but who recognize and consider AIPAC to be an organization which is largely supported by people who are known to be Jewish, they say that there is no Jewish lobby, that there is no pro-Israel lobby, and that the work of this lobby that they say that doesn't exist is really unnecessary because the American people, so they say, support the state of Israel. So therefore, what I'm asking is, why then does AIPAC exist? If the American people support Israel and Congress is receptive to the concerns of the American people and does what the American people want, why then is it necessary to have America's pro-Israel lobby, which is what AIPAC calls itself? If everybody loves Israel so much, why is it that they have to raise all this money? Why is it that they have to fund all these political candidates? Why is it that they constantly have to tell people how great Israel is? I mean, isn't there something wrong here? I mean, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it, ladies and gentlemen, because if Israel is the best thing since sliced bread, and Israel is such a valuable ally, and Israel contributes so much to America, and everybody loves Israel, and Congress knows how great Israel is, why? I mean, I'm repeating myself here, but I want to drive home the point. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And then they say that there's no such thing as the Jewish lobby, and then they say, oh, well, there's much difference of opinion in the Jewish community. And again, I emphasize, folks, I'm using their words. These are not their words. These are my words. They are always saying, oh, there's a lot of difference of opinion in the Jewish community, and Americans of the Jewish faith, their words, not mine, don't always march lockstep with Israel, but they love Israel. And, you know, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And yet then they say there's no Jewish lobby. But then America's pro-Israel lobby, as it calls itself, sends out fundraising letters and says it's because of its efforts that America is maintained, or America maintains such a quote-unquote special relationship with the state of Israel. I guess what it comes down to, folks, that there is this double standard. Just as before, as I've noted here at the outset of the program, it's all fine and dandy for Jewish publishing houses, quote-unquote Jewish publishing houses, and quote-unquote Jewish writers, and quote-unquote Jewish newspapers to praise the work of Lehman Brothers and AIG and the families and financial interests that control these organizations, many of which are the same families and financial interests that control the mass media in this country. But when someone says boo, when someone says something negative, and likewise mentions the fact that many of these people consider themselves to be quote-unquote Jewish, even though perhaps they may not be in the minds of others, there seems to be a double standard here, folks. An intriguing double standard. I know what I think about it. Okay, we're going to the break. When we come back from the break, we're not going to put quote-unquote, I should say, we're not going to put quotation marks around Jewish or the word Jew. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have a full lineup of callers. Try to squeeze everybody in, if that will be possible. All right, let's go first to Ohio. We've got Bill in Ohio. Bill, come on up. Bill in Ohio. I'm going to try once more for Bill from Ohio. Bill, are you there? Okay, it looks like Bill may have dropped off or he may have gone to sleep. We'll see what happens. Anyway, let's go to David in South Carolina. David, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. Hello.
What do you think?
Hey, a lot. I love the word Jew because we can say it on your show with the impunity or whatever. I hate to say it that way. But, you know, there's a lot more people that have these shows that you should be able to address the fact that these people do have a decisive impact on almost every part of our daily lives, you know, and throughout the Western world, at least, and throughout the world in, you know, so many other ways.
You know, it's interesting, Dave, because I was just thinking, too, during the break, one of the great writers, he was a German writer who was not anti-Jewish at all, Werner Sombart, wrote a book called The Jews and Modern Capitalism. And in that book, he drives home the point that, in fact, it was the Jewish Talmud that was the foundation for, as he perceived it, in his opinion, and this is a book that's been widely quoted and cited over the years, certainly not necessarily by anti-Jewish people. He has said that the Talmud was, in fact, the Talmud was a driving force behind the rise of what we call capitalism, what we call the stock market and the stock exchange. You know, he's very candid about that. And as I've noted on this show, that there was even a friendly biography of Meyer Rothschild, and I am aware, of course, that Rothschild was not originally named Rothschild. He changed his name to Rothschild, but that's the name that they've adopted and the name by which they are known. Meyer Rothschild's friendly biographer back in the early 1800s said that, in fact, Rothschild, who was trained as a rabbi and was a devoted student of the Talmud, had been influenced in all of his actions by his study of the Talmud.
And the Zohar.
Oh, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. All of these, which, of course, many Christians who revere the Jewish people and who talk about Judeo-Christianity have no idea about the existence of the Talmud or the Zohar or the Kabbalah or all of these mystical things that have absolutely nothing to do with Christianity and yet which we are told is a part of Judeo-Christianity.
Well, I appreciate that because of the fact that, see, I haven't, you know, called in a while, but, you know, it seems to me that generally, I think I did hear that guy from Arkansas, was it last night?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always this descent into putting their finger in the book that the Jews wrote, you know, essentially and compiled and put together, and say, well, God said so-and-so, and that's the end-all and be-all of it, and since you're bringing up the word Jew, you know, they think automatically, okay, well, this is whatever, and it turns into a sermon. You know, and that, you know, you're a political show, you know, mainly, and I tune into your show to get information about what's going on that you don't hear it from other people. And, it, you know, I mean, it's just a good platform for, you know, getting things out that you would not hear anywhere else. And I'm so grateful for the fact that you have such an open forum about this because it's so critical, in my opinion, that when people...
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I mean, you know, I guess where I so strongly disagreed with that caller was that I guess he would have me discuss these issues like Israel and Jewish power in America by qualifying everything I say by saying, well, they're not really Jews. The real Jews are the Christians, or the real people of Israel are the Christians and so forth, you know. And you get bogged down in trying to qualify everything you say, and you just completely lose the basic point. I don't know how many times I had to put quotation marks around the word Jews and Jewish in my opening monologue to try to conform with what that caller was saying.
It's exactly this.
You know what I mean? It was like I wanted to try to drive home that point that, you know, most if you do a transcription of my opening monologue, you'll find the word quote unquote said about 30 or 40 or 50 times.
Yeah, kind of hard to get through with that. But, hey, but, you know, the thing about it is, too, is, you know, whenever you're approaching someone who has a very serious spiritual or, you know, religious view on whatever it may be, no matter if it's a Buddhist and you're trying to tell them, hey, you know, trying to explain something to them, they say, no, that's not what it said in my book. You cannot debate something like that.
Spirituality
is personal.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I do say my prayers, and I'm hoping that they're heard by some good force out there who will give me some proper direction and tell me when I'm doing wrong and tell me when I'm doing right and throw a few nice blessings my way, if not even a few dollars every once in a while, you know. And I say that freely because let's face it, there are a lot of religions and religious teachings today, and in fact, you find it among these dispensationalists who worship Israel so much.
Yes.
They are people who do see economic success as a sign of the blessing of God, and in fact, you will find that as part of what I understand to be the teachings of the Talmud. So you know, it's. So I'm not ashamed to say that if I'm a little short on cash, every once in a while I'll say, and Lord, if I can I get through this week and get the rent paid? You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah, you should send in your donation to AIPAC there, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, we need to help AIPAC because, it's not a lobby and it doesn't exist, and Israel would be here even if it wasn't for that big, high-powered lobby lobbying on behalf of Israel.
Exactly. Just one more thing, then I'll let you go.
Go ahead, Dave.
I do have the opinion distinctly, because I am a spiritual person too. I say my prayers every day and every night, and I say them quite a lot, you know, because I believe in, you know, of course, a creative force and someone who pays attention to those prayers. I have no doubt about that.
That's right.
As far as it goes, I think the evangelism of both Christianity and our urge to shove democracy down everyone's throats is some horrible thing that come out of the West, you know, through the originality from the evangelical spirit, you know, from the Protestant Reformation, I suppose, is when it really started kicking in. But
absolutely,
whichever way, and it's, you know, it's just caused lots and lots of problems for our people.
I agree with you 100%. I have to confess this. After I got a little bit older, I'd start watching these movies and see the cannibals eating the missionaries. I cheer the cannibals on. That's going to get me in trouble with a lot of people, but what can I say?
All right, God bless.
All right, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. All right, I only say that half kiddingly, ladies and gentlemen. So don't send me angry emails saying that I'm a enemy of the West because I cheer on cannibals. I'm just having fun, folks. All right, we have Bill from Ohio back online. Bill, we thought APAC got you.
Actually, I was putting ice in my Jim Beam, Mike.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. That's more important than talking to me. Go ahead.
He said you had three callers ahead, so I apologize. I'm sorry. I was kind of sleeping at the wheel there, but I just prefer it on the rocks. Hey, my best to Carl. He's a patriot, and Carl, keep up the good work. You're inspiring. That I wanted to send out a little message to him. I had no idea he was in those, you know, in a pinch like that. But I, you know, kudos to you, Mike, for throwing that out there as well. And, you know, I tell you, Mike, one of my favorite quotes is one of our founding fathers, Samuel Adams, where he says, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men." And I think that that's what you're doing, and that's what other patriots are doing, and other good people around the world are doing, and people like Carl and people that take some heat and are oppressed and are imprisoned or fined or ridiculed, and God bless them, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, that's true. And it's, you know, like I said about Carl, it's amazing he's maintained his sense of humor about things because, I mean, I guarantee you with what Carl has gone through the last 8 years, very few people could hack it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's just beyond belief. I mean, you know, I knew a guy who got sentenced to jail for 2 years for a crime he did not commit. I'm very confident that he did not commit it. Everybody that knows him is confident he did not commit the crime, but he had a choice of going to trial and most likely getting convicted and possibly facing a 20-year sentence or pleading guilty, and he pled guilty and served about 2 years. But, you know, he was very stoic about it, and he said, I've done a lot of things that I probably could have gotten convicted for and served a year or two here and a year or two there, and this and that. He says, okay, I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and spend the time, you know, and he did. But there are so many people out there like Carl,
yeah,
who have done so much time,
yeah,
and who have not done a damn thing.
Yeah,
and but for political reasons,
Jim Traficant comes to mind.
Well, Jim, yeah, very good, perfect example right there. That
the
yeah.
A hero.
That
They paid a dirty price. I was cheering that guy. I was drinking to him, toasting to him. He let those bastards have it, just like Galloway did. God love him.
Exactly.
God love him. You know, just two things. You never, ever need to apologize for anything that you say on the air. You speak the truth, and sometimes the truth isn't polite, and damn them if they can't handle the truth. And if you want to talk about the Jewish lobby, by God, you talk about the Jewish lobby, and do not make any apologize, Mike. It's not necessary, and that's what it is. There's nothing in your tone that's hateful. This is just the truth. AIPAC is you know, a very, very powerful, it's a force unto itself. And you know, this
and AIPAC is
the United States
just,
of America.
Just one part of the whole big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, AIPAC is there coordinating things, but
right.
They're backed up by the mass media in this country.
Right. AIPAC, I think, are the foot soldiers. Huh?
Yeah, there. That's about all they are, really,
right.
When it comes right down to
right.
it.
Right. And we know that. Hey, I had kind of compiled an interesting list, Mike. There's so much Catholic bashing that goes on, and I just thought, you know, turnabout is kind of fair play. We're Irish Catholics, right? We've been oppressed for 800 years. We fought the Brits and the Zionist Brits for 800 years. But, you know, did you know, Mike, that Catholics were actually banned from owning land, from receiving an education, from having custody of orphans, from intermarrying, from holding political office, from serving in the army, from bearing arms, from voting, from having representation in parliament, banned from practicing the profession of law, banned from inheriting land from Protestants, banned from owning a horse that was more than 5 pounds.
Well, that sounds like a Holocaust to me.
Their music, the Gaelic was banned. Their religion unto itself really was banned in that sense. You know, and then you talk about the potato famine where they were deliberately starved. You know, the British
oh,
were
absolutely.
Selling the grain.
Absolutely.
You talk about, you know, the population went from 1841, 8.5 million, and it dwindled down to a little less than I think 4 million within just a couple of decades. So people, you know, the Inquisition, forget it. 6,000 people died in the Spanish Inquisition, if that. Those people were treated humanely. They were given fair sentences and fines and imprisonment, you know, what have you. But for the most part, they were purging themselves of the infiltrators and the Jewish subverters, the Murano crypto Jews. So I just
yes,
thought,
that's
know,
a, that's an interesting little point that somehow seems to get lost in the shuffle.
It sure does, doesn't it, Mike?
Yes.
It sure does. And, you know, we kept them in the locked cage ghettos for 1,300 years, you know. So you know, they like to bash. Go ahead. Bash all you want, guys.
Welcome to Ireland.
We did our part. We did our part.
Good call, Bill.
See you, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Let's go to Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, how are you?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hey,
how are you doing tonight, Dave? Hey, I just sent you an email. You should probably get it shortly.
Oh, great. Yeah, you know, I was talking to Mark Glenn last weekend, Michael, and I promised him I'd do my best to get this call over the air on your show.
Go ahead.
This is kind of like the second part of my call Monday, but
right.
Then the show ran out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the topic, of course, now we're going back to Sarah, the beauty queen of the Jews.
Okay.
Okay? Listen, I'm very concerned. I'm very anxious. I have a lot of anxiety and apprehension about her. And, if you know, I hope I have time to get this out, but if you're good and gentle listeners will bear with me, okay?
Go ahead.
Sarah loves to go moose hunting. She you know, she loves to go moose hunting. She does it for sport. She doesn't need the meat. She this is the kind of stuff she does for sport. She goes moose hunting. Okay. She goes out, Michael, and she beats the bushes and everything, and she, you know, and she sees them, a big bull moose and everything, and you know, you can just picture this. She raises the rifle and she gets the moose's heart right in her crosshairs, and she lets the moose have it, and you know, she goes running over and everything, and the poor moose is still alive. It's not even dead yet. So she, you know, very coldly, she just stands back and. She lets them have the coup de grace, okay? And then she, you know, she jumps right into it, Michael. She takes her big hunting knife out of its scabbard, and, she, you know, she slits the moose's underbelly from stem to stern. And, you know, she opens it up, and all the blood and guts, it's all the steam coming up, and blood and guts, but she just dives into it with alacrity, and she starts ripping out the guts of the moose. And she rips the, you know, all the blood and the guts and everything. Of course, but, you know, by this time she's up above her elbows and, you know, in blood and guts and everything. But, you know.
And a moose is not a mouse.
Huh?
I say a moose is not a mouse either.
Right. So then she reaches up and she's ripping the moose's lungs out, and, you know, and then she reaches up and grabs the moose's heart and rips the moose's heart out. This is what she does for sport. But anyways, Michael, where I'm going with all this, people probably say, oh, geez, Louise, enough already, Dave. Give us a break. Spare us the gory details. But where I'm going with all this, Michael, why I'm really upset and very anxious and apprehensive is...
I'll tell you what, you're going to have... Dave, hold that. We have the break coming up. That was a very interesting introduction and very graphic, and I'm never going to think of Sarah Palin and her moose dressing in the same way again. But hold that thought till we come back.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the New World Order.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour here. A very interesting and entertaining exposition from Dave from Massachusetts on Sarah the Ripper Palin. Dave, proceed.
Okay, Michael. So anyways, she does, this is the kind of stuff she does for fun and sport. So anyways, Michael, where I'm going with this call, what's got me very anxious and apprehensive is, do you know what Sarah Palin calls the people over in the Middle East who believe the Holy Quran and who adhere to the tenets of Islam?
No.
Muslims. It's going to be open season on Muslims with a
Dave, you know, that's scary.
Yeah. It's going to, you know, it's scary.
Dave, you know, there's a lot of symbolism in a lot of things.
Oh, there sure is.
And I don't think your analogy, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who think that analogy is just way off, but I'm here to tell you, Dave, and I'm not ashamed to tell you or afraid to tell you, that I think your analogy is, as a friend of mine would say, spot on.
Thank you, Michael, because I'm deadly serious.
I know you are. I know you are, Dave, and I think I know you well enough from talking to you over the phone and listening to you elsewhere. I mean, you're a very serious guy who's done a lot of study, and you've picked up on some interesting nuances about things that you pointed out on this program before, and like I say, that's a pretty scary one, and I don't think it's far off at all.
Yeah, she's a Nimrod in drag, a Nimrod in drag.
Yeah, I mean, this is a woman. I mean, let's face it. She actually said we might have to consider war against Russia if Georgia joined NATO. And she said, after all, that's what NATO's all about. I mean, hell, Russia's her next door neighbor. I guess if she got her 300 Weatherby Magnum out, she could fire a couple shots right across the Bering Straits.
Sure. Absolutely, Michael. So,
I've shot a 300 Weatherby Magnum in my life, and I hope no one ever uses one to shoot me.
Oh, I know, but you know, she's very cold and calculated. She's very cold blooded, Michael. You know?
I would agree with that, and I think that is, again, harkening back to what you said, Dave. That's what's actually very scary about her. You know, with Joe Lieberman, what you see is what you get. But what you see with Sarah Palin is really not what you get. And she's bared a part of her heart and soul to us in some of her comments. And that, again, to go back to an earlier analogy I used, that's just the tip of a very dirty iceberg.
I'll close, Michael. I'll just say this. I never thought any woman would scare me more than Hillary Rodham Clinton. But I have to honestly say that this Sarah Palin scares me even more than Hillary Rodham
Clinton. Well, you know, see, that's where the dirty trick on the Republicans and the conservatives and the Christians and everybody else is, because, again, with Hillary, what you see is what you get. And you wouldn't want to run into Hillary Clinton in a dark alley, because she might beat the hell out of you. But Sarah Palin will too.
Oh yeah, and she'll be batting her pretty little eyelashes the whole time she does it.
Just when she sticks a knife in you, that's just what Jack the Ripper did in the dark alley.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Dave, thanks for a very interesting call. Great way, interesting way, frightening way to wrap up the week. Apologies to a number of callers who were waiting to come on board, but we will be here next week, God willing. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to good folks at RBN for making this hour possible. Have a good weekend, folks. See you Monday night.
Gold has been.